I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, congressional Republicans are turning their attention to a large-scale budget reconciliation bill that will include trillions of dollars in tax cuts and increased spending in defense and immigration enforcement, with also large spending cuts. The budget cuts that are being considered look at Medicaid and SNAP. These are by far the biggest spending cuts that have been proposed in decades, targeting social safety net programs, and they zero in on people with low income. Experts predict that under the Trump budget cuts, we will likely see the largest increase in poverty in America since the Great Depression, and it will especially hit hard rural Texas. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. To enact the Trump agenda of massive tax cuts for the wealthy, increased spending for the military and immigration enforcement, Republicans in Congress are calling for deep cuts to the social safety net. And this includes chopping back at Medicaid and SNAP. Preliminary estimates from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office indicate that 8.6 million more people will be knocked off of Medicaid if Trump's big agenda, his big, beautiful bill, becomes law. Yesterday in D.C. at the Rayburn Congressional Offices, there were protesters, many of them disabled, who were blocking the entrance to the budget hearings. 26 were arrested. There was also a 24-hour vigil on the Capitol Mall trying to raise awareness about what these Medicaid cuts would mean to millions of Americans. Experts predict that if the Trump cuts to the social safety net move forward, we would see the largest increase in American poverty since the Great Depression. David Manchette, Ph.D., is a senior policy analyst at the National Health Law Program, and he's an expert on Medicaid accountability and access. And David, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here to talk about Medicaid.
Yeah, and also we're joined by Lynn Coles, Ph.D., the Director of Health and Food Justice with Every Texan. And Lynn, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much, Tim. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So, David, let me ask you first off, explain what we're looking at with these Medicaid cuts. What's being proposed? What are we seeing in Congress?
What we're seeing is, as has been discussed for a long, for months now, is finally the specifics of a major, the largest cut to the Medicaid program in its history. The amounts are around $715 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office right now. And the way these cuts are going to manifest, there's a couple of different themes that all will lead to service reductions and enrollment cuts for the Medicaid program. As you mentioned, 8.6 million people. Some of the things that we're seeing nationwide, there's an attempt to add sanctions for work requirement for states for Medicaid expansion enrollees. We're seeing a freeze, a whole bunch of other provisions that will sort of be like a death by a thousand cuts, making it much harder and adding red tape to the program, make it harder for people to stay enrolled or to get enrolled. And then other changes that will make it harder for older adults and people with disabilities to stay on the program, as well as limitations in how states can, this is basically a major cost shift from the federal government onto state governments. And in addition to putting that responsibility on the state governments who are already strapped, it will restrict their ability to finance, to find the state part of the Medicaid program that will allow them to keep people enrolled. So it's going to have major effects on people's lives.
All right. And so, Lynn Coles, how would this really be impacted? How do we see how these proposed cuts, when they talk about work requirements, if people are on Medicaid, if they're making so little money to begin with in Texas to qualify for Medicaid, I mean, how does that change things?
Yeah. And David, I'm sorry I misnamed you earlier. Thank you for that question. I mean, the reality is that most people who are on Medicaid are working, or they have current waivers for not working because they're children. So there's that group, or because they have disabilities, there's that group, or because they are pregnant or recently pregnant and are raising newborns. And so so the proposed law really seems to disregard that reality and requires people to go through this very cumbersome, very burdensome process of like going to a Texas Workforce Commission office or proving that they applied for jobs or talk to people about applying for jobs, and then document all of that and then submit those documents to, in Texas, what would be the Health and Human Services Commission. And so because most people who are on Medicaid are already working, this just adds incredible burdens to their day-to-day lives. They would have to get the paperwork. They would have to fill it out. They would have to, they might be able to do that online if they have, if the agency, if the Health and Human Services Commission is even able to get the system running in time, right? So there's just like, there's all these cumbersome things that people would have to do that would cut down on the amount of time that they had to spend with their family, to enjoy the other things that they do in their lives, like go to church or, you know, be parts of communities. And then afterwards, because of all those burdens, what would happen is people would lose their access to benefits, because the system has clunks in it. All computer verification problems are, I'm sorry, all computer verification programs have problems, right? And so what happens is like people get booted off of programs like SNAP food stamps or Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program when they are still eligible. So it's not like their life has changed at all and they're making more money now or they have an offer of coverage from some other source. It's just that they didn't get the paperwork sent in, or they did and the agency wasn't able to verify it in time. And then they get booted off the program. They get left without health care. They get left without food stamps, less food on the table. And it creates huge economic consequences for individual families, but then also for whole communities too. Like, I mean, the numbers are pretty astounding. I'm gonna say this one out loud right now, and I'm pretty sure I'm accurate. It's like, for every dollar that the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, also food stamps, that gets spent, for every one SNAP dollar that gets spent in a community, that community makes $1.50 because of the economic productivity created by that one SNAP food stamp dollar. So the cuts to SNAP, the cuts to Medicaid have massive consequences, of course, like on people's individual lives, because they don't have access to medications. They don't have access to doctors. They're not able to go to school. They're not able to go to work. But then also like the financial consequences and community health consequences at large across the state will be so significant, like tragic in individual cases, right? And very significant in community cases. And when I say tragic, like, you know, I don't like saying this out loud, because we're talking about individual people, we're talking about families and the terrible consequences that they suffer, but like people die when they don't have access to healthcare, you know? And it's just, it's egregious, it's cruel that House Republicans are planning these cuts right now. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit worked up, but.
Well, I'll tell you, we're gonna take a break here. Okay, take a break here, take a drink of water. And we're going to refocus. We really want to explain this because it's complicated, and I think deliberately so, just like how you become eligible and how they can decline people to get these in benefits, because I think that's part of the strategy. But we're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you have, you know, use Medicaid, if Medicaid is part of what you or your family uses, are you concerned about these cuts? Could they impact you or people that you know? Are you just worried about other people, as we should be? Give us a call. We want to hear what your questions and comments are about these proposed cuts to Medicaid and also to the SNAP program as well, and how that's going to directly impact so many here in San Antonio. 833-877-8255. The Source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In Congress right now, they are working through a budget chopping bill. Well, it's not really chopping down the budget. They're growing the budget because there are increases for spending for the military and also big increases for spending for immigration enforcement. And also they're having these massive tax cuts that will go to the most wealthy. But there are some cuts being proposed, and they have a lot of support from the Republicans that will go to the social safety net, which includes chopping back at Medicaid and at SNAP, what we used to call, you know, food stamps. How this is going to impact so many that we know in our community. We're talking about that now, and what are the political arguments? What's it look like in Washington, D.C.? We're talking about that this afternoon. We want to hear from you, 833-877-8255. David Manchelet, Senior Policy Analyst at the National Health Law Program. I'm hearing Republicans say that that the Democrats are lying about, you know, how bad this is going to be. Republican members of Congress are saying no one eligible for Medicaid is going to be kicked off of Medicaid now or in the future. But they use that eligibleness. It seems like that's the caveat. What they're playing with is who will be eligible and how hard it will be to become eligible. Is that the point we should be looking at?
Exactly. I think this is the difference between what something might look like on paper and how it works in reality. And I think all of our listeners can know how difficult it can be to navigate a system, to end a subscription for a TV streaming service. You know how difficult that bureaucracy can be. And that is part of the history of engaging with the government, and the Medicaid program is no exception. And certainly we know in healthcare what it's like to try to get approval for a service from a managed care plan or to find a doctor when you need one, a specialist especially. These are real challenges, and they happen in the real complex world. So when you add extra burden to getting enrolled or staying enrolled, and you put more reliance on computer systems that often have incorrect data or come up with strange results, you end up kicking people off who are eligible for the program, or you have them not finish the process because it's so cumbersome.
So I have a caller who seems to have a similar story kind of like that, and I'm going to go to this caller, Karen. Karen, thanks for calling in. Go ahead. Tell us your story.
Hi. Yes, my name is Karen, and I'm so glad you're bringing to light what's going on. And I was a person that was eligible for SNAP benefits, and I was declined due to income. However, I submitted proof of income, and we definitely qualified. And there was a discrepancy done on the agency's part. And when I asked them, well, aren't you able to verify the income automatically? Because I have been told they can. And they said, yes, we can. We can deny people for making too much money. I said, well, how come you can't verify when they're making too little money?
Right. So, Karen, thank you for that. And I appreciate you calling in because that's an important point. So, David, I hear that the agencies that administer, you know, Medicaid state by state, that they already have access to a lot of this data, but they send out these massive forms. They're like 40 pages long telling people to fill this out. And they already have all that data all over, but they still, do they dislike paperwork? What's happening there?
I can't speak to all the motivations for why something is one way or another, but when you look consistently at these programs, when you look at the work requirement, reporting requirements that happened in Arkansas, that happened now in Georgia, there's an article today about a man who, was working in Georgia and in the program, but then got cut off twice because the state changed its form and didn't tell them. This is what happens all the time. And whether it's deliberate or not, it certainly seems that way, but the effect is the same, is that people lose access to care. And that's what this really is about, is the federal government is they're cutting their spending on Medicaid, on the crucial care for people with disabilities, for older adults, for people all across the lifespan. And they're shifting that responsibility onto states, and then states are going to have to make these cuts, and it's going to affect people's lives. Like Lynn said, people will die because of these cuts.
So you mentioned Georgia and the proposal that they have now for this Medicaid reform, as some are calling it, is based on what they've done in Georgia. They've done their work requirements in Arkansas. We saw thousands of people knocked off the rolls in Medicaid rolls in Georgia. And in Texas, we've had what we called the Medicaid unwinding, was about that last year, and we had so many people knocked off of Medicaid here in Texas because they were being asked to reconfirm so many of these details. Lynn Coles, a director of health and food justice with Every Texan, how did that unwinding of Medicaid go?
It was extremely clunky. And there were at least 1.4 million people in Texas who were denied Medicaid during that period, which was from around like April 2023 to May 2024. Around 1.4 million of the people who were kicked off of Medicaid during that time period were kicked off procedurally, which means that they were kicked off because of a paperwork process, not because they were ineligible. And it's estimated that probably 350,000 of those people who lost Medicaid during that time period were children. And it's unfortunate and also like I think reflective of the state of things right now. There's so little clear communication that comes out of the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, not because of any staff members who work there. The people who work at the Texas Health and Human Services Commission are amazing, and they're doing really, really good and hard work to try to keep people covered. But the directors of that organization, in conjunction with the federal policies that we're seeing right now, what we're seeing is this intentional move to make it harder to be on these programs. And what we see in the effect in the case of the unwinding was 1.4 million people kicked off of their Medicaid plans because of those procedural issues, right? Because they didn't send in a document. Maybe they didn't even get the request for a document that came on a paper form to a house or an apartment where maybe they don't live anymore. Maybe some of those people didn't have homes. Maybe they were in between homes, and so they just never got the notices in the mail. But the numbers are striking. And the Medicaid unwinding period was a terrible harbinger potentially for the numbers of people that we will see lose coverage because of these cuts that the Republicans in the House are posing for Medicaid. And I think the number of, correct me if I'm wrong, but the number of people who the Congressional Budget Office scored would lose access to health insurance because of these proposed policies is 17 million people, and at least 8 of those million will lose Medicaid. And I'll go back to
Yeah,
those
those
numbers and
numbers are
make sure that they're
correct.
right. Okay, yeah. So it's just like if Texas has the highest number and the highest rate of uninsured people than any other state in the U.S. We have right now around between 11 and 12 million people in the state who don't have health insurance. And a lot of that is because state lawmakers have opted not to take federal funding to make low-income adults eligible for Medicaid. That hasn't happened yet in Texas. So we have this whole group of people who have too low incomes to get onto the federal health insurance marketplace, but have too high incomes, and maybe they don't have a dependent to get on Medicaid for adults who are caretakers.
Right,
And
they fall in
so,
between. They fall in the crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay, I'm going to go to a
And
caller
yeah.
real quickly, and the number to call in if you've got a question or comment, you want to tell us your story about interacting with the Medicaid system in Texas, 833-877-8255. And let's go to Eve. Eve, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. The reason I was calling is, you know, I'm a retired teacher, and I used to teach government, economics, and U.S. history. And when you look, I just heard it right now where they said that Texas has the highest number of uninsured people. If you look at Texas and how we vote and how we've been voting, and we always vote, well, the Republicans have dominated, right? In these rural areas, when they make these cuts, how they're going to be, it's going to be catastrophic how it's going to affect them. My question is when you look at back at history and you look like during the Great Depression, when these programs were created, it's like, did none of these people learn anything in U.S. history? Republicans are always cutting back programs, and I just don't get it. It's like, how can you vote against yourself? You know, if you look at it, when you talk about Christ and helping the poor, you know, they don't care about helping the poor. The Democrats, I mean, the Republicans are always going to do what's for business and for basically people who are wealthy. So unless you're making millions of dollars, these areas just have no business voting for Republicans.
And all right. Well, Eve, people vote for different reasons for different things, but I get your point. Thank you for that. But really quickly, let's talk about how this is going to impact rural places, particularly rural Texas, David Manchelet, because the rural health care in Texas is already in crisis. Over half of the rural hospitals in the state are losing money. If Medicaid is severely cut back in the state, we're going to see many more rural hospitals close in Texas, and that is really going to make a crisis situation already or even more worse. So your reaction to that?
You're hitting the nail on the head on what this will do. You know, and just referring back to the last caller, I think that this is a value statement. We can think about what this bill is doing in terms of values. You know, the people who are going to be hurt in Texas, especially, 86% of Medicaid recipients are children and pregnant or postpartum mothers. You know, people with disabilities. And when these pressures go to the state government and the additional pressures from having to cover part of the SNAP cuts, that is going to result in the state is going to turn around and say, we have to cut something. And what they're going to do is they're going to look at the most expensive optional services. There's only a few options. Medicaid is the most cost-effective health insurance program we have. They can cut provider rates that are already too low. They can cut services and limit the amount of services people can get, or they can cut enrollment. And in the past, when this has happened, states have turned to those services for people with disabilities, and that's what they cut because those are the bulk, they're a huge part of the budget. In rural areas, they depend on these hospitals. They're huge employers. They support the economy. In those rural areas, they've already been under pressure for years, and this is only going to break the back of those.
In rural counties in Texas, it's either the hospital or the school district are the number one employers, number one and number two.
Exactly.
And both of those are under pressure. They're going to have to contract considerably if they're going to remain. So that's just going to put a lot of pressure. And so, Lynn Coles, what do you think? How is that going to impact rural Texas?
Well, I mean, one in three children in rural parts of Texas or in small towns are on Medicaid. So these cuts would make it harder for one in three kids in rural parts of Texas to have access to health care. And among seniors, I think it's the numbers are always higher in rural parts of the state than in urban parts of the state. So like almost 22% of seniors in rural areas are on Medicaid. They're dually eligible for both Medicaid and Medicare or otherwise just on Medicaid versus like 15% in urban areas. It's the same for adults younger than 65. People who are pregnant in the area or for children, right? So it's about 14% of people in small towns and rural areas versus about like 7.5 or 8 for people in urban areas. And so when people have less access to healthcare, they go to the hospital only when it's absolutely necessary. So they'll go to the hospital when there's an emergency and when their healthcare is very expensive. And we've seen hospitals across the state of Texas closing, which leaves whole communities, whole counties
without access to healthcare. Yeah, growing healthcare deserts, medical deserts across the state.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We'll continue talking about what these cuts could do to the social safety net across Texas, across the country, particularly for folks who really need Medicaid, people who need SNAP, what is going to happen going forward, and whether or not these protests and demands that these cuts not happen, will that have an effect on preventing that? The number to call in is 833-877-8255. The Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas Medical Association, along with 49 other states' medical associations, have called on Congress to safeguard Medicaid against proposed cuts in the budget resolution that has been recently passed by the U.S. House of Representatives, and they're still working on that as well. They're saying that if this goes into effect, it could lead to millions of Americans losing coverage as well. It would create a worsening financial burden to states, physicians, emergency rooms, hospitals, and other patients. And this could disproportionately impact the rural areas, at-risk communities. Dave, and it would deeply shake the entire medical system that we have. So if you say, well, this does not directly impact me, I don't get Medicaid, I don't do these things, it will impact you if you rely on the healthcare system. So we're talking about that this afternoon. What are these cuts? Why are they in place? What are Republicans saying? Why they are necessary? And how it would impact you? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. David Manchelet is with us. He is a senior policy analyst at the National Health Law Program. He's an expert on Medicaid accountability and access. So one of our local congressmen, Chip Roy, Republican from Texas District 21, mm-hmm. he is actually calling for deeper cuts. He says these aren't strong enough. He says he's not going to vote for this because if they don't make this even more find more savings is what he's calling for. And he says he wants to end the Medicaid discrimination against the most vulnerable because he says that we're giving away too much money to some people who I guess receive Obamacare and that they should be giving more benefits to others. And if a recipient can work, then they should not be able to. Able-bodied workers can now make up the largest subgroup of receiving Medicaid benefits. So he has a plan. What's your reaction to that plan, David?
Well, there's a lot of misdirection in that statement, especially when you look at Texas in particular. I can talk about both. But if you're looking at Texas, the changes that are in this bill, the cuts that are already in this bill, they come down to a cost shift on the state government. And the state government has to decide what they're going to cut. There are no Medicaid expansion adults in Texas. So Texas is going to have to make these decisions about what they're going to cut. And they're going to cut vulnerable populations. That's what they did in 2012. Every state ended up cutting services for long-term care. I think people don't always understand that Medicaid is the major payer of long-term care. The things like when you need a home health person to come to your home and help you get through your day so you can stay living in your home when you're aging, or cut coverage in nursing facilities, that's paid by Medicaid. And those are the people who are going to be hurt. This bill freezes a rule that was put in place to help the 500,000 people who have Medicare coverage, who get Medicaid, who are eligible for supports for the cost sharing for their Medicare through the Medicaid program. Those people are no longer going to get on this program because they've frozen the implementation of making it easier for those people to get on. They're already eligible. So these are the kind of things that are going to affect Texas at the level of cuts that they're already talking about.
All right, I'm going to go to a
the
caller.
Work requirements is a different story.
Let's go to Jennifer. And Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hey, so I'm a
participant in the Medicaid program as well as the SNAP program. I have four children, and I'd like to speak to the fact that I am a working person. All four of my children are students, so we meet the requirements. However, I'm going to transitional Medicaid because of my source of income, and my food stamp benefits have been cut a significant amount, over $100, as if it wasn't a large amount to begin with, just a little bit over $300. So now it is a little bit over $200 for myself and four children. Ironically, I work as a life and health insurance agent for Medicare. So this time of year is called rest of year, and I don't make a lot of money in commission and bonuses. So this summer, as my children are off school and food stamps are cut, and I'm preparing to have to pay for health insurance for myself and four children, I think that things are going to become very difficult for me in the near future. And I think that I'm part of the vulnerable population. And I think that there's going to need to be programs put in place, maybe summer food programs, maybe they should reassess, you know, what I'm eligible for, you know. It's not realistic for me to take care of myself and four children and pay bills and a car note. I live in a rural part of Bexar County. Bexar County's not a small place, but where I live is, it's St. Hedgewick.
Wow.
They don't even have, you know, like public transportation. It's very rural. So I have no choice but to pay for a vehicle, car insurance, you know. Also, I recently received documentation. You guys were discussing that earlier about SNAP rules. Pertaining to my son, who is now a college graduate attending community college here in Bexar County, and he wasn't meeting the work rule requirements according to them. So I'm not.
I guess we got cut off. Okay. All right. So Jennifer, thank you for the call. I do think that, you know, being a student is also makes you eligible under the work requirement. I want to get the reaction from Lynn Coles, a director of health and food justice with Every Texan. What do you think about Jennifer's call and her story?
Yeah, Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing it. There are incredible programs around the state of Texas, and absolutely ones in Bexar County. CentroMed runs one of them. The Bexar County Health Collective runs another one. These are community health navigators who can help you get through that SNAP renewal process. Because if students are eligible for work study programs, then they are still eligible for SNAP, for food stamps. And so if that application becomes a problem, let me know. I can connect you with one of those organizations. You can reach out to them directly. This is like what Every Texan does also, is to support those community health navigators to make sure that they're up to date on current policies and whatnot. But you are absolutely right. Being a working adult with four children, you don't get enough SNAP food stamps. And if you're on transitional Medicaid, then you'll probably want to ask one of those community health navigators to help you see if there is an affordable option for you on the health insurance marketplace. And there will be a special enrollment period for you, most likely when that Medicaid ends, so that you can get into a health insurance marketplace plan in the middle of the year. The open enrollment period starts in November of 2025, and so you wouldn't be able to enroll until that time unless you have one of these special enrollment periods. So all of that's a little bit weedy, but it is to say that there are incredible organizations across the state of Texas who will continue doing the amazing work that they do to support community members like you, Jennifer, and other people across the state. And I really recommend that anybody who is staring down a future with potential cuts to their food stamps, Medicaid, to their other types of health coverage programs, get connected to those community navigators so that they can help you make steps for moving forward. They are called community partner programs. If they're certified by the Health and Human Services Commission, they're called certified application counselor organizations, or navigator organizations if they're certified by the federal government. The federal government is cutting their funding too, along with lots of other funding for lots of other organizations. So it is the time right now also for our funders across the state to really support these organizations as well, because of the amazing work that they do and because they are going to be so crucial moving forward as Texas lawmakers have to decide what to do with less money in these programs.
David Manchlet, we hear from Republicans who are looking for these cuts. They're saying what they're doing is they're eliminating fraud and waste. But when they're talking about fraud and waste, it seems like, are they considering people fraud and waste who really need these programs?
Right. We've asked that question. When you look at the CBO scores, I'll talk a little bit about the work requirement because, and thank you for that. As I mentioned, for Jennifer's story, I think really also illustrates the kind of travails and barriers that so many people are trying to get through their lives. They don't need more bureaucracy. And the work
She sounds like she has a very busy life. She's just working to keep it together. And does she really need to get a packet of 40 pages asking her to fill out one more time the thing she did, she already filled out last year?
Exactly. And when you look at this work requirement, it is radical. It is so much more, it's more, allow states to do more draconian interventions to make the work requirement even harsher than things that we've already seen that have failed in Arkansas and in Georgia. And I have 2 points that I want to make about this. Number one is that the Medicaid expansion in the states that have it, it includes a lot of people like Jennifer who would be eligible undoubtedly if Texas had expanded Medicaid. People who are low-wage workers, people who are who have disabilities, like a quarter of the people in most Medicaid expansions report that they have disabilities that impede their ability to work. They need these healthcare in order to get employment. And what we see is instead of just making it harder for them to stay enrolled, they don't need incentive. They're not paying their rent with Medicaid. They need access to services and less hassle in their lives. And that's what this program, the 4.8 million people that will be cut off because of work requirements across the country are people like Jennifer. And despite what any fig leaf of a Republican is trying to say that's not who they're affecting, that's why it's saving $300 billion. All right. That $300 billion is from cutting people off of Medicaid.
Who really need it and that's what keeps the society going. We got to take a break here. We're going to come back. I'm going to get Bonnie and Bennett on the air. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Trump administration is proposing major cuts to Medicaid as part of a plan to balance the budget. Well, it's not going to balance the budget because they're doing all these trillion-dollar tax breaks. But this is part of their talking points as they propose they push through this almost $5 trillion in tax breaks. We're talking about the impact on cutting Medicaid and SNAP, how that's going to impact many Texans, particularly in the rural areas, people who are already living life on a very thin line. You can call in 833-877-8255. Let's go to Bonnie. And Bonnie, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Thanks, Dave. I wanted to, especially since we didn't have the Medicaid expansion, and especially because of Texas's really high maternal mortality rate, mm-hmm. we're going to have disasters. The maternal mortality rate's going to go through the roof. And we have so little safety nets for people, for children. When maternal mortality goes up, the number of children who become public charges also goes up.
Yeah.
So this is going to cost us a dozen different ways.
Well, thank you so much for Bonnie. You're bringing up the economic and social consequences beyond health care. These proposed cuts would have broader economic implications. Job losses in the healthcare industry is going to be a part of that impact. Closures would lead to significant job losses, increased uninsured rates, and public health risk. Reduced access to preventable and emergency care could lead to worsening health outcomes, increasing mortality rates, particularly as Texas already has a very terrible record with maternal mortality. Lynn Coles, do you want to add to that?
Yeah. Medicaid covers more more childbirth in rural parts of the state than in urban parts of the state. We do actually have 12 months of Medicaid now in Texas after our 88th legislative session last year for new moms. And we did confirm with some of our national partners that it looks like the work requirements will not apply to the people who are in that group. We're following up on that to make sure that there aren't, you know, and these laws that they're trying to pass right now, they are not final. So everything that I'm saying is based on a draft that is going through markups as of yesterday. And so we'll update
deep
everybody
into
as soon
early
as we
this morning.
No, it's still going
on. Well, yeah.
It's still going on, right?
Yeah. But they were doing this like 3 a.m, you know.
When they decided. That tells you something about what they know about Medicaid. That the discussion about Medicaid and enrollment losses happened over the middle of the night.
Yeah, and they're planning the final vote on this one for Memorial Day.
They dropped the plan on Mother's Day, right, at like 10 p.m. So
what does it tell you when they play hide the football with something like this?
Well, and they're trying to rush it through also, which is a problem, right? They're trying to like make sure that there's as little media coverage and as little time for people to really like, you know, have access to the information, process it, and then do something about it. Because the tighter they can make that timeline, the less likely it is that people are going to know what's going on. Which I'm really grateful for this program. I'm really grateful for the work that advocates have been doing around the country and around the state, just like really turning it into cranking on high gear. For the past couple of days, just trying to make sure that everyone has information about this and really trying to get people like Jennifer, like Karen, like the people listening to this program to reach out to your representatives, especially those people who live in rural parts of Texas. Like, chances are you have a Republican representing you, and that Republican is going to have to vote on this bill. And if they know that they don't have your vote, if they're going to devastate rural health care systems, devastate maternal health outcomes, kids' outcomes across the state of Texas, like, If they know that their people won't vote for them anymore, they're going to get kicked out of their jobs and their seats, then they'll have to change their tune. And it, you know, it shouldn't be the responsibility of individual people to save their own programs, to save Medicaid and SNAP food stamps and, you know, marketplace health insurance for adults, right? Like, but this is where we're at right now. Our federal government won't do it for us. Our state government won't do it for us. So we've got to make sure that they know what's important to us.
Well, we're already seeing the depopulation of these rural counties in Texas. For all the growth that we have in Texas, the growth is happening in the major metropolitan areas and some of the cities in between. But in the rural counties, it's a depopulation problem. And you're not going to be able to change that if you have no health care available. Who's going to move? Who's going to stay if you are not able to have health care? I'm going to go to a caller. Bennett's been hanging on. Bennett, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. One of the problems we have is a shortage of doctors, and mostly young kids don't want to go to medical school anymore because they come out as indentured servants to the banks. So Texas has a surplus. Why doesn't Texas offer scholarships based on merit for kids who go through medical school and will agree to spend at least 5 years in rural areas to practice?
All right, Bennett, thank you for that great call. I appreciate that question. So there's a lot of ways to thread this needle. David Manchlet, if you want to talk about that. Why not, you know, doctor programs, more doctors, support the doctors, put them in rural areas, but why not, you know, universal health care? How about that one?
Well, I think that, I think there's a really, you raise a really important point. And there have been programs in the past for graduates of medical school to go and serve in rural areas. And it's exactly an area, kind of thing that we need to support. That's not what this bill is about. We know... there are many doctors in rural areas who are taking Medicaid and are paid so little that they're, they can barely get through. What's going to happen in this bill, if it passes in Texas, is that the Texas will turn around to the managed care plans and say, we're going to pay you less. And the managed care plans are going to turn around to the providers and say, we're going to pay you less. And they're going to have narrower networks and fewer options. It's going to be harder for that doctor to be able to keep taking Medicaid patients. I think you're also pointing out it's an integrated system. Medicaid is by far dollar for dollar, the most cost effective way of covering someone and giving them access to services, good access to services, it's a good program. But if we are going to cut out the legs from underneath Medicaid, we're going to affect our people with disabilities who rely on Medicaid. It's the only payer of long-term care like that. And it's also going to end up costing us more because this uncompensated care leads to worse maternal health outcomes, more hospitalizations. And, you know, when someone gets on the Medicare program after they've been unable to get Medicaid at 65, they suddenly have a number of health needs. And so Medicare costs more. So we need to look at our healthcare system as a unified system. And there's lots of ways to make it more efficient. I'm not saying our healthcare system is efficient, but I'm saying that we need to look at it all together. And that idea was a good one of a way to make that work better.
So Lynn Coles, the House Agricultural mm-hmm. Committee's reconciliation proposal would save up to $300 billion over the next decade through cuts to the nation's largest anti-hunger program, you know, SNAP. Mm-hmm. This is also going to hurt rural America, not just because of there's going to be less food, but also it's going to hurt the farmers. If you try to design something to hurt rural Texas, this would be it.
Yes. The estimate right now is at least $358 million that Texas will have to find to keep food stamp dollars just where they are at right now. The dollars that the federal government provides for SNAP, I mentioned earlier, bring so much economic support and productivity to the towns where people spend those dollars. And people spend SNAP dollars at convenience stores, at grocery stores, right? There's like so many different places, at farmers markets. And there is a program that the Health and Human Services Commission has that is not available enough in rural areas right now, but that basically doubles people's SNAP food dollars if they use them at farmers markets. So this is like direct dollar, direct financial support that the federal government could be giving to farmers in Texas. There's just not availability for the program. And if we lose SNAP dollars in Texas, it's less likely that the farmers will get those dollars moving forward. So there are really, really good bills. There are people working really hard in Texas to support rural areas in food security and also in medical care. There's a bill right now that would allow nurses in rural areas to do some of the services, to perform some of the medical services that doctors provide normally. There are also bills, to speak to Barrett's point, there are also bills that would incentivize people, medical school graduates going to rural areas and practicing there for a few years. But it takes our state lawmakers to say yes to those bills and to fund them. The Appropriations Committee and the Senate Finance Committee, there we go. They are still hammering out the budget right now in Texas, but they are, as far as right now, the last thing we heard, they are fully funding mobile rural health units. So mobile units that will go to people in rural places. So these are all strategies that people are trying to use to support farmers, to support people who live in rural areas. And it just takes investment from our state and investment from our federal government. And these cuts are doing exactly the opposite of that.
Well, we're out of time here, but it does seem like this is not a glitch in the system. This is a feature of the bill that they want. It seems like this is really what many of the MAGA folks are hoping for, even though it's going to be against their own best interest. You know, this is what people mm-hmm. are looking for. Who are voting on that ticket. David Manchelet, thank you. Lynn Coles, thank you so much for being on The Source today and helping us understand what's happening with these proposed Medicaid cuts. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.